God upon us. Amen and amen. All right. Tonight, I had a phone call a while back and was doing some counseling, and I heard about this, and I thought I would share it tonight by way of introduction. It was a pastor's daughter. The pastor was in an independent fundamental Baptist church, and a good church, and solid doctrine and stands and soul winning and all the rest of it. And this daughter wants to marry a preacher someday, from what I understand, the daughter of the preacher, the pastor. And I don't know her personally, but I heard this of her as I was counseling, and that she has a teaching position in a Christian school. She teaches in a Christian school, but lacks what I want to preach on tonight. And I believe she lacks careful separation from the world. Careful separation from the world. And you know, this gal went on a cruise, and while she was on a cruise, she chose to do all these different activities. And one of the activities on this cruise was to be dancing with a whole bunch of different guys, and the game was to see who could, at the end of the cruise, which guy could have the most women's clothing on him. And that, I guess, he would get from the dance partner. Whoever the dance partner was, he would get the clothing. And if he's the winning guy, he would have the most women's clothing. And here this young lady, a Christian school teacher, graduate from a good independent fundamental Baptist college, that was what she chose to do. I was talking and I said, well, what kind of music does this young lady like? Well, the world's music. You know, she listens to rock music, she listens to pop music, and she listens to the world music. But she's a good girl. She wants to marry a preacher. She teaches in a Christian school. She's a good girl. Well, she may be a saved girl. She may be a girl that wants good things in her life, but she lacks what I want to preach to you about tonight. She lacks what is called careful separation. And I prayed for this young lady. I say I don't know her personally, but I prayed for her hearing that story because she lacks careful separation. And that is so important, the doctrine of separation. And the world is something that can keep you from being close to God. The world can keep you. You know, when you're saved, you are to be sanctified. And God has already sanctified you by saving you and putting you into Christ and putting the Holy Spirit. What does sanctification mean? Listen, it means to be set apart for God's purpose. You are set apart from the world. What is profane? Profane is to be common. Profane is to be like anybody else. You talk like anybody else. You walk like anybody else. You dress like anybody else. You think like anybody else. And that is the world system is made up of those things that would lead you away from God. And Jesus said that the love of the world and the pleasures of the world, as well as the problems of the world, will distract you from walking with God, from talking with God, from serving God. Even as a child of God, the world can have that effect on you. The world is an organized system under Satan that has its own philosophies, its own customs, is in darkness, is dead in trespasses and sins, and has different popular things that are going on in different time periods. But all of it, listen to me, is a distraction from you to love God. Walk with God. Do the will of God. The world passes away, the Bible says, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. Love not the world, it says, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And here's a young lady. She wants to marry a preacher. She wants to be a Christian school teacher, and so forth. But listen, you get contaminated by the world and corrupted by the world, and you are not going to be effective. And the devil will use things to distract people. I know the devil even uses soul winning to a spiritual person. Oh, they want to be a soul winner, and so I want to win people to Christ. And this guy wanted to win people to Christ, so he was going to be a soul winner. And he thought, well, my church needs some wealthy people, and so I want to win some wealthy people to the Lord. And so he started finding, you know, people that had money, and he gave them the gospel, and he actually had some success. Some wealthy people got saved. But what happened is he was in a great church with a great preacher, but the wealthy people that came to that church, they kind of looked down their nose at some things in the church, you know. And this guy, in order to reach the world and reach these people, left a soul-winning pastor, left a good fundamental church, and he wound up going with those people to a compromising church, a church that compromised with the world. And Satan used even a good desire to win souls for Christ. Listen, you don't win souls for Christ by not being sanctified, by not being set apart to God. And so you need to be set apart to God. I think of Samson. You know, Samson, he said to Delilah, if you do this with me and you take away my locks of separation, if you take away my locks that say I'm a Nazarite, which means that I'm separated to God, if you take those away, he says, then I'll lose my strength. And that's one thing, but he said something else. He said, then I'll lose my strength and I shall be just like, listen to me, just like any other man. That is exactly what God doesn't want. He doesn't want you to be like just any other man. He doesn't want you to be like any other woman. He wants you to be separated from the world and separated unto God. And it says, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, you see. And that is so important. And so you need to be separated from the world and renewed by the inside out. Transformed means to be renewed and transfigured like Christ from the inside out, so that you don't think like the world, walk like the world, and do things according to this present evil world, which is going to pass away. So don't be distracted. And so what I'm saying tonight is that I want to warn you away from compromising with the world. I want to warn you away from not being sanctified or separated from the world unto God. And to warn you, listen, to watch your friendships carefully. Choose carefully your friendships. You say, well, why is it important who I hang around with? Let me tell you, there's something called separation from unsaved people. And that's our scripture tonight in 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. And I'll just read that to you. But it says, do not hang around with and be close to and yoked up with unsaved friends, unsaved people. Here's what it says. It says in 2 Corinthians, and I'll actually go back to verse 14. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? So you shouldn't have as a close friend unsaved people. I remember right after I got saved, my best friend was my best friend. But when I got saved, I got a new best friend. And my new best friend was a born-again Christian that was soul-winning. And I would be influenced by him to go out soul-winning. But I still had my old best friend. And I was working. I was just saved. I was a teenager. And he actually brought me some liquor, and I drank that liquor. And that was the one and only time that I drank liquor. I did it one more time, and that was it. And I left that behind me. By the way, if you're going to be separated unto God, you have two kinds of wine in the Bible, alcoholic and non-alcoholic. You're not even supposed to look at, size up alcoholic wine. Get away from it 100%. Don't listen to compromising Christians and compromising lily-livered preachers who tell you you can have your worldly cake and eat it too. You can have the world's cake with a Christian frosting on it. You can sip your booze and witness to people while you're at cocktail parties. That's baloney! That's baloney. Separate from the world. Be carefully separated from the world and get rid of the alcohol that the book of Proverbs tells you is not for the not for kings. It's not for people of God. Get away from that stuff and don't compromise. And let me say a second thing. Not only am I not going to be close friends with the unsaved, because when I was close friends with my unsaved friend, he pulled me down and help to get me into that I'm talking about. But not only that, you need to separate, listen to me, from Christians that are worldly. I'm not talking about making them an enemy and hating them and all of that, but I'm saying to you, don't be close to believers that are dressed like the world, walk like the world, drink like the world, talk like the world. I don't even care if they're in your family. Amen. There's something thicker than blood, and it's the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm saying to you, Jesus said, who is my mother, my brother? Who is my father? Who is it? They that keep the commandments of God. And so tonight, I'm warning you, listen to me, don't get into cool Christianity. Don't get into being close to the world. You be separated, carefully separated from the world and separated unto God so that you can live for God. And so that's my message tonight. That was the introduction. Three quick points. Number one, by your not following Lot's bad example. You're not going to follow Lot's bad example. Can I say something to you tonight? Lot was a saved person, but he was not carefully separated from the world. And can I say a second thing tonight? I've said it before. I think I preached a sermon on it one time. Listen to me. In America today, there are lots of lots. There are lots of lots today. In fact, I might say that in America today, the common Christianity of the churches in America, the Christian America, is what I would call Lot. They're Lot kind of Christians. And so you look at the Bible, and we're going to Genesis 13, you look at Lot, and Lot is an example of a lot of Christians today, and they're not carefully separated. A Lot is a believer. Lot is in heaven right now. But do you know what? He lost rewards. Do you know what? He lost the ability to witness to his relatives, and they were dead in Sodom because he didn't have an example of careful separation from the world like his uncle Abraham had. He didn't have that. And so if you look at go with me to Genesis chapter 13. I just want to look at a couple of principles here. And I'm saying be carefully separated from the world by not being like Lot. And look at verse 5 and 6 of Genesis chapter 13. It says, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together. And the substance was too great, it says, so that they could not dwell together. And what happened to Lot? Lot got money. Now we know Abraham was very wealthy. But Lot became very wealthy as well. He was blessed with money, or cursed with money. Sometimes money can be a curse. When is money a curse? If it takes you away from church. If it takes you away from an independent fundamental Baptist soul winning church. If it takes you away from God and his word. And so Lot, you see, he began to be quote unquote blessed with a lot of possessions. But it caused strife between he and Uncle Abraham. Now, he would have been better to give up his possessions. Right. and or at least give up a lot of them so he could stay with Abraham. See, he lived during the time when Abraham was his pastor. It was called the patriarchal period. And the patriarch of the family was the leading father in the family or grandfather, and all the worship would center around his work. And so Abraham was that for Lot. But Lot left his church, so to speak. He left his pastor, so to speak. And why did he do that? Because he had all these possessions. And he thought, oh, this is God's blessing, you know, so I'm going to leave because it would be better out. But Abraham said, go ahead, you choose where you want to go. You know, I'm not going to force you to stay with me. And by the way, nobody's going to force you to stay at church. Nobody's going to force you. You're not going to be forced. Nobody's going to get a gun and force you. You have to make that decision in yourself. But I'll tell you what, when you start leaving church, you're backsliding.
That's right.
You say, well, I'll watch it on Facebook. Oh, get your face in the book and get back out to church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembly of yourself together, as the manner of some is. And so Lot, you see, he was leaving the Uncle Abraham. He was getting away from somebody that would help him to be blessed. I think of Brother Jose Valley. He's here tonight. And Jose was kind of in and out. Amen, Jose? He was kind of half here and half not here. And I would always say, wouldn't I, Brother Zuka? I'd say, Jose Valley needs to get locked in.
Yeah.
He needs to get locked. He's not locked in. He's half in. He's half out. I'd say that to him all the time. And Brother Jose, I was talking behind your back. I want you to know that. And I would say that. And you know what, Brother Jose Valley, he asked me for counsel one time. He had an opportunity to get a good job, and he was making a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money every week. And this job was going to make him a lot of money. But I perceived that his job was taking him away from godly influences like the youth pastor here and godly leadership in the local New Testament church. And I was counseling him and started to get into, you know, how he could get the best job. And right away, it was like God showed me, no, that is not what you need to tell him. You need to tell him that you need to get a job. And he got a job that put him with the youth pastor and with the church more. And he took a pay cut. He got about half as much money. And you say, wow, that is crazy. But no, it isn't, because his wealth in Christ is so much greater. And Lot lost everything, didn't he? In the end, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. God can give you more money. That's no problem. He could do that. But you need God, and you need to be separated from the world and separated unto God, and make your decisions based upon that. And so Lot is a believer who left a good fundamental pastor, a good fundamental church, because he wanted to get more possessions in the world. And Lot had the lust of the eyes. Look at verse 10 of Genesis 13. I'll read it. You look at it. It says there in verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as what? The garden, even as the garden of the Lord, and even as what? Like the land of Egypt. So what was he looking at? He was looking at something that was a symbol of the world. Egypt is a symbol of the world. He'd been there. He'd seen the world. And so now he was looking at the world. Do you know what? The lust of the eyes can lead you away from the Word of God. The lust of the eyes. I am amazed at how people are dressed, and especially women are dressed in the summertime. Oh, I know it's hot, but there is no excuse for a believer dressing like the women of Egypt.
That's right.
The Egyptian women of this world.
Yes.
I am telling you, we've got a nation full of whorish dressing people.
Right.
You look at our forefathers, they would turn over in their graves. And you say, well, how far are you behind the time, Pastor? Are you 10 years, 20 years, 100 years? I'm 2,000 years. I'm right back here to what the Word of God says. And I'm saying that Lot, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the Egyptian culture. He saw the Egyptian wonderful, well-watered plain, and that led him away from the Word of God. It led him away from Abraham, the man of God, in his life. And, oh man, I remember when I was a young man, I was about 19 years old. I'd gone to college, and I was telling my granddaughter, I said, I did not like that college because they were teaching Christian college doctrine, but they had replaced true Bible teaching with what's called neo-orthodoxy. You say, what's that? Well, the Garden of Eden was not a real garden. It was just a symbol. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil wasn't an actual tree that you could touch. It was just a symbol. That's what our grandparents believed. There were a literal Adam and Eve. No, they weren't literal. That's not real history. That is what Barth called, he was German, Geschichte. And Geschichte was just symbolic history, that Bible stuff. It's called neo-orthodoxy. And that was all over the college I went to, the first Christian college. And I said, I got to get out of here, God. I said, I got to get out of here. I got to separate myself from that. And I got out of that college, and thank God I got out of that. And I went to a Bible college that had the Bible, and we're a Baptist college, and it was a good thing. Now it's Baptist. Where's the Baptist, and where's the Bible? But thank God for that decision I made. And I'm saying to you, you need to make decisions based in what is right with God, not by the influence of the world like Lot did. And you need to turn your eyes away from beholding vanity. And then I want you to notice verse 11 of chapter 13. When you think of Lot's bad example, it says, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. That's the wrong kind of separation. Don't get separation from good people. You know, one of the things I've done in my life is I have chosen who's going to influence me.
Amen.
I might not agree with them on every point of doctrine, but I chose people that are carefully separated. I chose leaders that are carefully separated. I chose to go to conferences where they're carefully separated. And when they stopped doing it, I separated myself from the conference. I don't care who started it. If it's corrupted, if it's going off, it's becoming worldly, I want to get to the right. Turn to the right. I always want to go to the right. You say, I don't like that. Well, that's too bad. That's tough. Lump it then. I'm going to turn to the right. And so that is exactly what Lot didn't do. He separated from the right-wing fundamentalist Abraham, you see. And he hung around the world's crowd and so forth. And that's what this young lady is doing. She wants a Christian guy. She wants to be a Christian, but she's going to, listen to me, she's going to spread worldliness wherever she goes, because who you allow to influence you, they're going to influence your kids through you. They're going to influence others around you through you. And so who you choose to influence you is very important. So don't follow Lot's example. He was not carefully separated. And the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 15:34. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know what that means? Who you hang around with will corrupt your life. Who you allow to influence you, corrupt you. You turn on the rock music of today, you turn on the rock music of yesterday, and it will influence you away from God. And he said, I speak this to your shame. It will not make you want to go soul winning. And you could even listen, like Brother Jesse told me, Pastor, he said, I've got certain music. When I start listening to it, it's crossover music. It will get me into hard rock. I'll be listening to this music so long, and then I'll be into the hard rock music. Listen, stay away from anything like that and get the right kind of music, like we've been learning about in the book of Revelation, a new song. And I think after a person gets saved, after a musician gets saved, he needs some time to mature. He needs some time to know the difference between moral music and immoral music. Hang Mike Gleason's false teaching that he purported in this church that music is amoral. Oh, baloney. Music is moral. The words are moral, and so is the music. You can't take rock music and put Christian words to it. You can't take, it's like taking a bottle of liquor and putting a gospel track and say, here, I'll give you the liquor and you can have it and read the gospel on it and get saved. That is not separation. I had a guy in my church, this was back in the day, you know, Michael Jackson was popular then, you know, the pedophile, Michael Jackson, he was popular then, and this guy loved Michael Jackson's music, and they had a Christian rock band, and this guy said to me, he said, you know what, we'll play the rock music, and he said, you know, all the girls will be screaming, and, you know, like the Christian rock band. There was a band called Striper. They were a Christian rock band. They came here to Scranton, and all the girls were there, and what'd they do? They threw their underwear on the stage. That was their way to show appreciation to Striper. You know what? They're making my point. Rock music is sex. It's wickedness. And their own musicians will tell you that. I have studied them, not Baptist preachers. They will tell you that. And so, you know what, we try to, and churches are trying to dim the lights and look like some kind of a nightclub and have light shows like the world. And I decided a long time ago that's not what I want. I want to be carefully separated from that crowd and that kind of music. I don't want it, beloved. I have chosen something better. Don't be like Lot. He hung with the world and wanted to get close to the world, and you know, you get close to the fire and you're going to get burned. Amen. And the world will burn you. And I had a guy one time tell me, he had his wife, you know, singing in bars and this and that, and she was singing solos in our church. And I said, listen to me, you're going to get burned by the world. He goes, what's the world? What's the world? I said, you're about to find out, buddy. And he left our church, and he took his beautiful wife, beautiful singing voice, beautiful woman, and he took her beauty, and he let the world lust after that beauty. They're now divorced. They're now divorced. He got burned. You get too close to the fire, I'm warning you tonight, you're going to get burned. And I've seen people over the years, they've done it. And don't follow the example of Lot. We had a young lady in our school, lovely young lady, and she was going to leave our school and go off from our school. And I said, oh my, we'd like you to stay here. And she said, you know what, Pastor? She said, you teach good standards, and I want to follow your standards. I want to be pure until I'm married. But she left our school and hung around the worldly people that influenced her against what we were teaching. And it wasn't long before she gave up her virginity. And it wasn't long before she was corrupted by the world. I told someone that I was talking about this pastor's daughter. I said, she keeps doing what she's doing on that cruise ship. I said, she's going to get in full-blown fornication. This person said, oh, no, that wouldn't happen to her. It'll never happen to her. I said, oh, you're wrong. And same with this girl. She said, I'm going to keep your standards, but I'm going to be around. She didn't say that, but it was true. I'm going to be around worldly influences. Evil communications, 1 Corinthians 15, corrupt good manners. It'll corrupt. You have to decide who's going to influence you. And don't follow the example of Lot. And don't do that, because I'll tell you what'll happen. Luke, can you get on that pew right there? And I've done this before, but Luke, if you just get on that pew. And Luke, he's a good strapping guy. Can you pull me up on that pew? He's strong. But look how easy it is for this old man to pull him down. All right, Luke knows that. And just pull him down. And you know what? You can't hang around with somebody in the world and be close to somebody in the world and pull them up by hanging around them. But they can pull you down. I'll give you another example. Let's say you have the flu. And I am healthy, and I go up to you and I go, Kate, you got the flu. You got the flu. I'm going to make you healthy. And I start breathing on Kate, and she's breathing on me. Am I going to breathe on her and make her healthy and get rid of her flu? What's going to happen to me? I'm going to get the flu, right? Because you hang around the world and you're going to get worldly. And so that's why the Bible says don't stand around the sinful people of the world, the ungodly. Don't sit with them. Don't loiter around with the world. You're to go to them and not with them. To them with the gospel, but not hang out with them and be like them. In fact, the Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. In the Old Testament, you could touch something if you were holy, and it would not become holy because you were holy. But if you were holy and you touched something that was unclean, what would happen to you?
You were unclean.
You were unclean. So the Old Testament teaches exactly what I'm saying here from nature. Listen to me. Tonight you choose careful separation by not following Lot's bad example. And number two, by you're not being afraid of being accused of legalism. And look at Psalm 119, verse 41 and following. Psalm 119 and verse 41 through verse 46. I'll read it. It says, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me. For I trust in thy word. And verse 43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. For I have hoped in thy judgment, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Is that legalism? I shall keep thy law continually forever and ever. Then verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings. He said in verse 45, I will walk at liberty. Why? For I seek thy precepts. See, people say if you have biblical morals, if you keep the commandments of the Bible, you're going to be a slave. You're going to be bound. You're going to be a legalist. Let me tell you something. I heard a preacher, he preached a message, and the message was called Words for the Birds. And he said, people with high standards, according to the Word of God, the Bible, they are called legalists. But that's words for the birds. Because what does Acts 15, what does the Bible say a legalist is? A legalist is somebody that tries to be justified before God by works. It could be faith in Christ plus baptism, faith in Christ plus doing good works, faith in Christ plus church membership. It is some way to be justified before God by good works. You can't ever be justified by God by any manner of works. But once you're saved what? Unto good works. Once you're saved, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit so that the righteousness of the law, that's the morality of the law, will be fulfilled in you and through you. And is that happening in your life? That's what sanctification is all about, that you're to be set apart unto God. So don't be afraid of this thing called legalism. I remember Independent Fundamental Baptist pastor, and he was with a neo-evangelical type pastor. And, the neo-evangelical believed the gospel and believed in salvation by grace through faith and was a saved man. But he didn't believe in careful separation. And he accused the Independent Fundamental Baptist. He said, well, you've got a bunch of standards in your Christian school and you're just a legalist. I mean, look at your girls. They have to dress this way and so forth. You're just a legalist. And the pastor said, well, do you think a girl can go to school dressed in panties and a bra? And the guy said, well, of course not. Of course we don't believe that. And the pastor said, well, then you're a legalist. Because you have a standard, it's just different than my standard. Listen, we need to hold up the standards of the Word of God. And it says when you do that, listen to me, you're free. Freedom is not the freedom to do whatever your flesh wants. Freedom is the power of God to do what God wants. That's what freedom is. That's what the psalmist is saying here. And that's what we ought to have. And God works in us to give us that kind of desire to do what God wants. When is a train most free? When it's got one set of wheels on one track and another set of wheels on the other track and is going straight down the narrow track? Or when that train departs from the track at about 50 miles an hour and goes crashing through houses and through streets and cars because it's derailed. It's off the track. That is the way many professing Christians are. They're off the track of God's word, and they're free. Oh, I'm free. Yeah, you're free to destroy your life. You're free to destroy lives around you. No, you're most free when you stay on the track of God's word. And that's where you have more joy and more blessing. And that is indeed what is lacking today. And by the way, it's summertime, so let's talk about nakedness. Amen. While we're at it tonight, look at Exodus chapter 28. Exodus in chapter 28. I want to talk about nakedness for a moment tonight in Exodus chapter 28. And by the way, who's going to be least in the kingdom of heaven? Those that ignore the commandments of God. All of them. God's moral law is unchangeable. Amen? God's moral law is the same. So Exodus 28 talks about what is nakedness. And go down with me, Exodus 28. And verse number 42, I'll read it. And he's talking about the priest's garment. Verse 42, he says, "And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins," that's the waist, "even to the thighs," that is the kneecap, which is the bottom of the thigh, shall they reach. The top of the thigh is right here at the waist, and they're going to go down unto the thighs, which means the bottom of the thighs or the kneecap shall they reach. In other words, your nakedness is from the top of the thighs in your waist area, your loin area, all the way down to your knees. And that is to be covered up. That is your nakedness. Now, let me look at another scripture on that. Go to Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47. We're talking about being carefully separated and not be afraid of being called the legalist. It's just everybody has standards. It's where do you draw the line? I like to draw it at scripture. Amen? That's what you ought to do. You ought to draw it in scripture, and you'll be truly free, and you'll fulfill God's purpose. All right, Isaiah 47 verse 1 says, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne. O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg." Now, what are the locks? The lock is a dress. It's a long flowing dress back in the day. And specifically, it's a wedding dress. And he's talking about the Babylonians. They're going to be defeated and go into captivity. And they're going to cross the Euphrates River. And he said, "Now I want you to uncover the locks." What does that mean? Lift up your dress to walk across the water. Uncover the locks, because they're being judged by God. And he said, "Make bare the leg." And then he says, "Uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers." Look at verse 3, "Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen." Exodus 28, verse 42, and Isaiah 47, 1 and following, it says very clearly that the uncovering of your thigh is nakedness. You have no business, whether you're a man or a woman, uncovering your thigh before strangers, even before family members.
That's good, preacher.
You need to stay covered, because Leviticus talks about all kind of abominations within families. And I see it in Scranton. Man, Scranton is a strange place. But really not strange, because this stuff goes on. I am saying we need to learn how to cover up our nakedness. And nakedness, and you run around with short shorts, you run around with anything that uncovers the thigh. Well, somebody says, I would never go out in panties and a bra. But yet, if you just dig a hole in the ground, put water in it, put some sand around it, take the panties and the bra and put some polka dots on it, and call that a two-piece bathing suit, you'll go out there and do that and show your, you know what, all over the place, your nakedness, all over the place. You ought to be ashamed.
Amen.
Careful separation. careful separation, not being afraid of being accused of legalism. And I'm not afraid to preach on it because these are the standards of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 7, it's not good for a man and a woman to touch. Not good for a man to touch a woman. And that's in the context of 1 Corinthians 7 of dating and of relationships between the opposite sex. It's not good to touch. I remember when Marie got saved, came in here, and Jesse told her that, and she got a ribbon and tied it between her and Jesse, and they didn't hold hands. Well, I've seen other couples, they've held hands, and within 2 weeks, they were into full fornication, because that touch stirs up desires that cannot be righteously satisfied. It's good for a man, Paul said, not to touch a woman. I'm talking about God's standard. I'm talking about careful separation. What are you going to follow?
It's good.
God's standards are higher. You know, God says in His Word, don't commit adultery. Well, we know that. But Jesus said, I tell you, don't even look at a woman to lust after her. He took God's stand and He got away from it. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to be carefully separated. One time this guy went to a king. He said, I want to marry your daughter. And the other guy said, I want to marry her. He said, well, I want to see who of you can be the best chariot driver. You show me how you can drive that chariot. And the one guy that said, I want to marry the daughter, there was a big cliff there. And he took that chariot and the horses and he reined them up and riled them up. And they were running and galloping. And he got off the road, got real close to the cliff. One wheel was just over the edge a little bit. Stones were coming down, and he turned it around and brought it back, and he said, there. The other guy, you top that. And the other guy got on a chariot, his chariot. He got his horses out there, and he ran them, and he stayed right on the road. And he stayed far away from the cliff. And he came to the king, and the king said, I choose you. Because it's not how close you can get to the cliff and survive. It's how far you can stay away from the cliff and be wise. And that is exactly what we're talking about here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, it says a man shouldn't have long hair. It's a shame. It's a shame. But people say Jesus had long hair. Do you have a picture, a photograph of Jesus? You got some middle-aged hippie that drew a long-haired hippie. That's not Jesus. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. And yet, you know, people will say, well, how long is long? And they'll try to have their hair as long as they can. You ought to be saying, how far away can I stay from the cliff? Make it clear. Same with a woman. Shame for a woman to have short hair. Do you know that? So you say, how short is short, you know? Your hair ought to hang down over and hang down over your neck and don't see how close that you can get. I'm just saying, don't be intimidated by people that talk about legalism. You be carefully separated unto God. And finally, choose careful separation by not following Lot's bad example, not being afraid of being accused of legalism, by your not seeing how close you can get to the world. You seek God's standard. You seek what He says. You find out Peter, the Apostle Peter, when he was fishing, he was naked. You know why he was ashamed of being naked? Because he didn't have any shirt on. He was bare-chested. And he put on his fisherman's coat when the Lord was there. And you know what? When I read that, that convicted me that I shouldn't be swimming with my shirt off. I shouldn't be running around with my shirt off. I mean, who could avoid the temptation with these? But I decided, you know, I'm going to honor God and I'm going to do that. And only when I'm alone and nobody's around would I take it off and let some sun hit my back and check. I wear something on the top. They used to wear the shirts on, even the men when they swam back in the old days. Now, we talk about women, but how about the men? And men ought to swim with down to their knee or below their knee and have some kind of covering on their top, because anywhere from the kneecap showing the knee all the way to the neck is naked. It's to be covered up. It's to be covered up, beloved. And I'm preaching to you tonight what I found out from the Word of God. And I'm a fundamentalist. That means I go by the Bible, not by trying to follow the world, but lay back 10 years behind the world,
right.
You know. No, that's not my standard. My standard is the Word of God. May God help you to commit to that. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight. And I'm looking tonight, you know, the Bible's